Good morning. The April 28th, 2021 meeting of the Coastal Regional MPO will now come to order. We will pause for our invocation, then proceed immediately into the Pledge of Allegiance. Thank you. The Core MPO is holding a hybrid virtual meeting in an effort to be in compliance with local and state regulations regarding social distancing and to maintain the health and safety of all involved in these public hearings. For staff, board members, and members of the public who are participating today, agenda is broken down into the following items. Approval of the agenda, committee reports, action item to be presented by the staff, other business, status report on current projects and activities, information report, other public comments, notes by the chairman, and adjournment. For each agenda item, the staff will make a presentation. The board may then ask questions of the staff for clarification. During the public comment section, the floor will be open to the public to discuss matters on the agenda. For members of the public, if you wish to comment on an item that the board is considering, use the raise your hand feature on your screen. For persons attending the meeting in person who desire to speak, staff will provide you with a speaker card. At the appropriate time, I will recognize you and staff will direct you to the microphone. At the end of your allotted time, as determined by me, you will be notified that your time has expired and I will recognize the next speaker. The meeting will now be called to order. Staff has proposed that the following changes to the agenda: continuation of item 5-2045 MPP Vision Plan Amendment to the June 23rd, 2021 meeting. Is there a motion for an amendment to the agenda?
So moved.
Mr. Chairman.
It's been properly moved by Lee Smith and seconded by whom, I speak?
This is Dr. Chabaz, second the motion.
All right. Mayor Pro Tem Chabaz.
Yes, sir.
All in favor, please indicate by stating your name and your vote.
Dr. Chabaz.
Mayor Beth Godey, Thunderbolt.
Valerie Ragland, yes.
Sean Elder, yes.
Yes. Eric Larson, yes.
Pamela Bernard.
Yes. Lee Smith, yes.
Are there any others? Hearing none, the motion is now passed. We will now move to committee reports. Let us have the committee report from ACAP from Pam Oglesby.
Hello?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, you can hear me.
Yes, ma'am.
All right, good morning. Our chairperson, Teresa Brenner, was and still is out of town, so I am the vice chair of ACAT, so I'll give the report this morning. We had five action items on our agenda. The meeting was held this Monday, April 26, 2021. The five action items we endorsed unanimously. so I'll just list them. The first one is the amendment to the fiscal year 2021 UPWP, Unified Planning Work Plan that was endorsed. This number two, draft for the fiscal year 2022 Unified Planning Work Program that was also endorsed unanimously. Number three was the 2045 MTP Vision Plan Amendments that was endorsed as well. Number four was the Regional Transit Safety Performance Targets for 2021 endorsed. And the fifth and final agenda item was the amendment to the fiscal year 2021 through 2024. TIP. We endorsed all of them unanimously without any problem.
All right, thank you, ma'am. Are we ready to move?
Ms. Oglesby?
Yes.
Your committee also endorsed our bylaws at that meeting, the update to the core MPO bylaws?
Oh, yes. That was the only thing I left off. I'm sorry. Yeah, that was endorsed as well.
Okay. Any action needed there?
No, those
are
just recommendations.
Okay.
Those are just recommendations to the committees. The items are later in the agenda.
All right. Let us have the report from CAC, Dr. Daniel Bradley.
Alicia, are you on?
Yes, I'm on.
You want to go ahead and speak for Dr. Brantley?
Yes, I can do that. We held our CAC meeting on April 22nd, 2021. We addressed six action items, the first being approval of the meeting minutes, the second being the amendments to the fiscal year 2021 UPWP, the third being the draft fiscal year 2022 UPWP, fourth were vision plan amendments to the 2045 MTP, the fifth action item address with the regional transit safety performance targets for 2021, and the final action item was the amendments to the fiscal year 2021-2024 TIP.
Okay. The TCC, Pam Bernard.
Good morning.
Good morning.
The TCC met on Thursday, April 22nd, and we went over action items, including the amendments to the FY 2021 UPWP, the draft fiscal year 2022 UPWP, and the regional transit safety performance targets and amendments to the fiscal 21 through 24 TIP. All were endorsed by the committee for approval by the board. We had a robust discussion of the MTP vision plan amendments, and after a lengthy discussion, the TCC did endorse the amendments with some revisions. And that's all for the TCC.
Now we have the report from the EDFAC.
Mr. Chairman, I know kind of off task, but I want to recognize Suzanne Cooler and Pamela Bernard, and Pam just spoke. From the County Engineering Department. They'll be recognized formally Friday, but I am so proud that they have been recognized as two within 50 in the Georgia Engineering Magazine of 50 women to know in the state of Georgia as engineers. And that is awesome. So Suzanne and Pam, we're really proud of you.
All
Thank you very much, sir.
Okay, thank you. Moving right along, Ms. Bernard.
Okay, so the Economic Development and Freight Committee also met on Thursday, April 22nd. Those action items included the pretty much the same items, the amendments to the fiscal year 21 UPWP, the draft 22 UPWP, amendments to the 2045 MTP vision plan, and the amendments to the current TIP. And all of those were endorsed by the committee for approval by the board. The MPO staff also provided the initial freight map that the committee had talked about, and the committee provided some recommendations to the MPO staff moving forward on that. And that's all. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. The executive director's report, Ms. Melanie Wilson.
Right now, as you know, we have been going through the process to work on finalizing the UPWP, so that's been a priority for the agency. In addition to that, we just received or found out that we received $2.1 million and some change in additional funds through CARES. I am going to work with staff and the TCC to look at the appropriate distribution of those funds. And that's it. We are, I don't know if you want me to go right into our recommendation with regards to the change of the bylaws. That was one of the things that the TCC also endorsed as well.
Okay, that will come up later.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay.
We will now move to the action items. First item under the action item is approval of the minutes of our February 24th, 2021 meeting. Is there a motion?
Yes, sir, Mr. Chairman. I'd like to make a motion that we approve the action items of February 24th, 2021 Core MPO Board Meeting Minutes.
Second, Lee Smith.
Been properly motioned and second that the minutes from our February 24th meeting be adopted. Are you ready for the question? All favor by saying by voting and please state your name.
Dr. Shabazz, yeah.
Sean Gillen, yes.
Lee Smith, yes.
Van Johnson, yes. Yeah.
Valerie Ragland, yes.
Mark Denmark, yes.
Ron Feldner, yes.
Eric Larson, yes.
Hearing none other, the vote is approved. Now we will have the amendments to fiscal year 2021 UPWP. Presented by Mark.
Members of the board may recall that in June of last year, the State Route 307 corridor study was added to the current year UPWP or Unified Planning Work Program as an unfunded, illustrative study. The funding contract for that has been secured.
The funding contract for the 307 corridor study has been secured with Georgia DOT as of the early part of this year. So we now need to amend the UPWP to include the State Route 307 corridor study as a funded study. I have on the screen the funding summary of the fiscal year 2021 UPWP with the 307 corridor study highlighted in red here. The total budget is $250,000, and this would simply, again, bring the 307 corridor study into the funded portion of the UPWP so that we can start to pay invoices on the project, which is just kicking off. So we would be asking for approval of the amendment.
Okay. I need a motion to approve the amendment and also to the FY 2021 UPWP. Is there a motion?
Lee Smith, so moved.
Dr. Shabazz, second the motion.
And properly motion the second. Please state your name and your vote.
Dr. Shabazz, yes.
Lee Smith, yes.
Sean Gillen, yes.
Nick Palumbo.
Valerie Reichlin, yes.
Dan Johnson, yes. Eric Larson, yes.
Mark Denmark, yes.
It passes. All right, let us move on to the draft 2022 Unified Plan Work Program. Mark.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We're here today to present the draft fiscal year 2022 Unified Planning Work Program. The Unified Planning Work Program for fiscal year 2022 is the proposed core MPO staff work program for the fiscal year beginning July 1st, 2021 and running through June 30th of 2022. It details the staff budget and work projects to be carried out in support of the federally mandated 3C planning process. That's the continuous, cooperative, and comprehensive transportation planning process. We are working primarily under two federal formula funding grants, the FHWAPL grant from the, again, the Federal Highway Administration, and the FTA Section 5303 transit planning grant from the Federal Transit Administration. Both grants require 20% local match, the local match coming primarily from MPO membership dues. GDOT does provide half of the local match or 10% for the Section 5303 grant. These are formula planning funds that are distributed to the MPO based primarily on population. The funds can only be used for planning, and any funds not spent are forfeited at the end of the fiscal year. There is no rollover from one year to the next. So the total proposed formula funding for fiscal year 2022 is $628,420. $450,000 roughly from the PL grant and $178,000 from the Section 5303 grant. There is also another pot of funds that we can tap into, discretionary PL funds. I mentioned that unspent formula funds at the end of the year go back to the state. Georgia DOT pools those. There's currently a balance of about $4 million total. They like to hold back approximately $3 million of that for MTP updates. That's the MPO's Metropolitan Transportation Plan. So there's about $1 million balance currently available for other studies statewide. There's competitive selection process for these funds in the spring and fall for plans and studies to compete for these funds. They must be included in the MPO UPWP. That's why we added the 307 corridor study last year as an illustrative unfunded project. The prioritization criteria for the discretionary funds favor the required MPO planning products. But having said that, the awards have included a wide range of non-required plans and studies as well, and that's fine because those do contribute to the development of the MPO's required planning documents. Applications are screened by Georgia DOT and Federal Highway Administration staff. Awards are approved by the PL Funds Review Committee, of which each MPO in Georgia has a membership, except Atlanta Regional Commission. Atlanta is operating under different criteria. And again, 20% local match required by the project sponsor. There is a smaller pot of discretionary funding available under the Section 5303 grant. Rather than being in the millions of dollars, it's probably more likely this year in the potentially hundreds of thousands of dollars. It can also be used for plans and studies. They must be in the UPWP, and the applications must be submitted to Georgia DOT in December. So that means the window for applying for next year's discretionary 5303 grant funds passed in December. We have received several discretionary grant awards in the last few years. In fiscal year 2018, we got discretionary PL funds to carry out two major interchange studies, the I-16 Little Neck Road Interchange Study and the I-95 Airways Interchange Study. In fiscal year 2020, we received a discretionary FTA Section 5303 award for $27,000 to assist CAT in purchasing some transit planning software and data. In fiscal year 2021, the current fiscal year, we received discretionary awards for the State Route 21 Access Management Study, sponsored by Garden City, and the State Route 307 Corridor Study, sponsored by Chatham County. Both of those studies are just kicking off. So the fiscal year 2022 UPWP development process is in its final stages. It began last fall with a call for plans and studies in October. Also in October of 2020, we brought the proposed transit planning test to this board for information purposes.
Interesting.
We applied through Georgia DOT for our FTA Section 5303 grant in December of 2020. Between December of 2020 and January of 2021, we developed the first draft of the fiscal year 2022 UPWP. And the draft UPWP was submitted to Federal Highway Administration and Georgia DOT for review and comments on January 8th of 2021. You may recall that as a courtesy and at the request of Federal Highway Administration, we do provide our planning documents for a 30-day advance review before sharing them with the core MPO board and advisory committees. So the draft UPWP was initially submitted for the February core MPO agendas, but it was decided to continue it until April, when we received substantial comments from Federal Highway Administration on February 12th. We received additional comments from Federal Highway Administration on April 9th as well. So the UPWP has been under redevelopment, and we're bringing it to you today, having been through two rounds of review and comment with the advisory committees. So the revised draft was published initially on April 2nd for the first round of advisory committee meetings. We have continued to update based on comments received, with the most recent revision published on April 26th. Today, we are recommending that the core MPO board approve the draft fiscal year 2022 UPWP. Once that does happen, it will be submitted formally to Federal Highway Administration for approval prior to June 30th of 2021, and that will allow our funding contracts for next year to be executed timely. So just a word about some of the staff work priorities for the 2022 work program. The 2050 Metropolitan Transportation Plan update, you'll recall that a little over a year and a half ago, we adopted a comprehensive update to our long-range transportation plan, or Metropolitan Transportation Plan. That was Mobility 2045. We plan to kick off the next MTP update during fiscal year 2022. We also will be working on the congestion management process update, a freight plan update, the State Route 21 Access Management Study update, and the State Route 307 Corridor Study update. One thing that I didn't hear in the EDVAC report was we did start to initiate scoping discussions with the EDVAC committee, and we probably will be meeting with them fairly regularly for the next few months until we get that sorted and potentially for a funding application this fall for the discretionary PL funds. In addition, you'll recall that at our last meeting in February, we had a detailed presentation from Anne-Marie Day at Federal Highway Administration of our federal certification review. We had a good report, and the written report is now available, received it as of March 31st. They like to embargo that till the last day. It's a four-year cycle, so they like to embargo that report till the last day that it's due so that they don't cut down, so they don't advance, I guess, rather your next review deadline unnecessarily. So we had the verbal report in February. We knew the findings, but now we have the written report as well. That's available on our website and linked from the draft UPWP. One thing that we're looking forward to towards the end of next year will be the census urban area delineation. We expect those to be published in the summer of 2022. That will let us know what our population is going to be. I mentioned earlier that our planning funds come to us through a formula distribution that's based largely on population. So that will have an impact on our funding. It will also impact our planning area, because we will have to encompass at least the area that's included in the census urban area. The work program is organized into six major tasks, including administration, public involvement, data collection, analysis and forecasting, and systems planning and operations, as well as transit planning and special studies, both funded and unfunded. The unfunded studies are those which we have had requests from our calls for plans and studies. There are also a couple of studies that we have put in as well in response to comments we have received, including the freight transportation plan and the sea level rise study. And the draft funding summary here, as we near the end of the presentation, showing the six major tasks. The fiscal year 2022 planning funds totaling $628,420. The special studies funding that we have for the 307 corridor study and the 21 access management study are shown with an asterisk, because that is technically fiscal year 2021 funding, but we thought it was a good idea. And our planning partners at the state agreed that it's a good idea to show, I guess, the cost of those studies. It's just, we wanted to make it clear that it's not actually 2022 funding. It's funding from the current fiscal year that we're showing for illustrative purposes. And that brings us to the end of my presentation. I'll be happy to answer any questions that anyone may have or take any comments. We will be working to incorporate the draft, we believe, has addressed the comments received to date, but if there are any further comments, we will address those and incorporate those before we send the final version of the document to Federal Highway and GDOT.
Are there any comments from any board member? If so, please identify yourself. Hearing none. I need a motion to approve the draft for the 2022.
So moved, Mr. Chairman. Lee Smith.
Tom Hutchison, second.
Second the motion, Dr. Chavez.
Properly motioned and seconded that the draft be approved by Lee Smith and seconded by Dr. Chavez. Are we ready for the vote? All those, please signify who you are and your vote, please.
Mayor Godey, yes.
Lee Smith, yes.
Sean Gillen, yes.
Dr. Chavez, yes.
Mark Denmark, yes.
Eric Larson, yes.
Nick Palumbo, yes.
Valerie Ragland, yes.
Dan Johnson, yes. I'm sorry, Van Johnson, yes.
Tom Hutchison, yes.
All right, hearing none, it is approved. Let us move on now to the update to the bylaws.
Good morning. This is Pamela Everett. I'll be speaking to the changes to the bylaws. Basically, one of the things that I've been charged with since starting with the MPC is to update the bylaws for the various boards. And so we were looking at the Corps' bylaws to ensure that they were in compliance with the law. So two things that we are changing, one that doesn't have to be in compliance with the law, but we are changing is the ability of consultants to vote for more than one municipality. So apparently what has been happening is there have been several municipalities who have hired consultants to act on their behalf at the core meetings and to vote as their designee. So what we want to do is to avoid any conflict or appearance of a conflict of interest by having one consultant have multiple votes. So that's one of the changes that is proposed to be made to the bylaws. The second change is with regard to the ability to poll the board to change its bylaws. It appears that the bylaws were put into place before there were changes to the Open Meetings Act, which requires that any actions of the board be taken in public. And so what I've done is amended the bylaws so that they are in compliance with state law, specifically the Open Meetings Act, so that there is no polling of the board. And what will happen is you actually have to take action at the meeting with regard to making any changes to the bylaws. So what will happen is instead of it reading that there will be a 60-day approval period to poll the membership, there will simply be a meeting. At the meeting, you will take a vote to modify any of the bylaws. And it's a two-thirds vote of the core board to affirmatively modify, change, or repeal the bylaws. Does anybody have any questions or concerns with the proposed changes?
I do have a question. This is Van Johnson, and this is just because I don't know it off the top of my head. How many voting members are on the core board?
And that is a question, Mark, if you could answer that, because I don't have a list in front of me. 20.
It's
43?
23, okay. And so, Ms. Everett, your question, your point was there were consultants who were voting multiple times?
Yes.
Okay, understood. So moved for approval.
Second, Lee Smith.
It is improperly motioned by Mayor Van Johnson, second by Manager Smith. Are you ready for the question? Please signify your vote by stating your name and your vote.
Dr. Chavez, yes.
Mayor Godey, yes.
Tom Hutcherson, yes.
Sean Gillen,
Larson, yes.
Valerie Ragland, yes.
Nick Palumbo, yes.
Lee Smith, yes.
Van Johnson, yes.
Ron Felder, yes.
Pamela Bernard, yes.
And so it is approved. We move on now to item six, the Regional Transit Safety Performance Target 2021, presented by Alicia Hunter.
Hi, Mr. Chairman. Thank you so much. If I could share my screen. All right. Can everyone see my presentation?
No, not yet. Are we sharing the screen yet?
I should be.
I have it.
I can see it.
Okay, I'm presenting on the 2021 Regional Transit Safety Performance Targets. The FTA established transit safety performance measures and ruled that certain transit agencies and MPOs must set performance targets for the FTA's established performance measures. Transit agencies and MPOs that must follow this requirement are those that are recipients or subrecipients of FTA grant funds. And transit agencies are required to set their performance targets in their public transportation agency safety plan. And once agencies set those targets, they're required to share them with MPOs. And once MPOs receive those targets, they have 180 days to set transit safety performance targets for the region. Safety performance measures are set by the FTA, and they are a quantifiable indicator that's used to measure a performance or condition, whereas a safety performance target is set by transit agencies and MPOs, and they represent a quantifiable level of performance or condition that's to be achieved. So essentially, performance measures help transit agencies and MPOs assess progress towards meeting performance targets. There are four transit safety performance measures set by the FTA, and that includes fatalities, serious injuries, safety events, and system reliability. Addressing the FTA's four safety measures requires transit agencies and MPOs to set seven safety targets by mode. And the first three performance measures shown are represented as a total number, and the rate per total vehicle miles traveled by mode. And the last performance measure, system reliability, is shown as a mean distance between mechanical failures by mode. And this is the first time that transit agencies and MPOs are going through this process of setting transit safety performance targets. CAT is the only transit agency in the Savannah Metropolitan Planning Area that falls under the FTA requirements for setting these targets. And CAT developed their safety plan, set their targets, and shared those targets with the CORE MPO in January 2021. And so the CORE has until July 2021 to set the performance targets for the region. Here, this table shows the transit safety performance targets that are set by CAT. As you can see, there are four measures being addressed by seven targets. And here is a visual representation of the target setting timeline for the planning area. Once the CORE MPO adopts the regional targets, we have until July 20th of 2021 to incorporate the regional targets in the TIP and the MTP. Setting the performance targets for the Savannah Metropolitan Planning Area was coordinated with CAT and GDOT. And since CAT is the only transit provider in the planning area required to set these targets, the MPO staff recommends using CAT's transit safety performance targets as the regional targets. And this recommendation is made to ensure that there's a common goal and consistency between the two organizations. And in terms of updates to the performance targets and system performance reports, transit agencies are required to update their performance targets annually, whereas MPOs are not. And currently, the CORE MPO updates the system performance report when new performance targets are adopted. The proposed transit safety targets have been presented to and endorsed by the CORE MPO advisory committees. And today, staff are recommending that the board adopt the proposed performance targets for the Savannah Metropolitan Planning Area. Thank you.
I need a motion to approve the regional transit safety performance target for 2021.
So moved, Chairman. This is Dr. Chavez.
Is there a second?
Second. This is Tom Hutchison.
And properly motioned by Dr. Chavez, seconded by Tom Hutchison. Please state your name and your vote.
Mr. Chairman, I have a question.
Comment. Okay. Question.
Thank you, sir. Lee Smith, the transit targets set by CAT, I believe this is correct. Are they done by staff or are they done in cooperation with a third party. I know that sometimes a third party, Valerie, I believe is online. If it's done by staff or done by a third party consultant to assist with doing that, or FTA, how is that done? I'm just out of curiosity.
It is done by staff. This is Valerie Ragland with Chatham Area Transit. That performance evaluation is performed by staff with recommendations from FTA. After the completion of that, the study, the PTASP, we sent it to the FTA, who examined it and made remarks and reviewed it for us. So we did have that information from FTA for our final findings, as well as assistance from Sterling, our insurer.
Great. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, Valerie.
Are there any other comments or discussion? All right, let us now call for the vote. Please signify your name and your vote.
Lee Smith, yes.
Sean Gillen, yes.
Yes.
Brown, yes. Tom Hutchison, yes.
Eric Larson, yes.
Mark Denmark, yes.
Nick, yes.
Valerie Ragland,
Feldner, yes.
Van Johnson, yes.
Pamela Bernard, yes.
All right. It is approved. Amendments to the FY 2021-2024 TIP, presented by Ms. Hunter. Is it Lisa?
Alicia, are you muted?
Mute, yeah.
Ah, you know what? That makes a lot of sense. Can you see my screen? Yes.
We can.
Great. Thank you so much. Okay, so I'm presenting the staff report for the updates to the fiscal year 2021-2024 Transportation Improvement Program, known as the TIP. The TIP is the MPO's short-range planning document. It provides a multi-year listing of surface transportation projects proposed for federal, state, and local funding within the metropolitan planning area. And the fiscal year 2021-2024 TIP was adopted by the core board in December of 2020. And the TIP is modified from time to time to ensure that updates to projects, revenues, cost estimates and schedules are incorporated. And in January and February, the MPO received project updates from GDOT, along with new funding and programming information. And so this staff report covers those proposed updates to the fiscal year 2021-2024 TIP. Outlined in the TIP are matched funds and revenue projections. Updates have been provided for existing highway and transit fund revenue projections, as well as funds have been added. And these revenue projections are highlighted in the table shown. There are three proposed highway project updates, the first being the Chevis Road Improvement Project. Chatham County was awarded some lapsing TAP funds and Z301 revenues. The cost estimate for the PE phase has been updated to reflect the changes in funding. The second highway proposed update is a new feasibility study of the Savannah River Crossing. GDOT added a scoping phase for this new study, which will help identify strategies for bridge improvements. And this project is supported 100% by local funds. And there are updates to the lump sum. Two lump sum categories were added, and that includes freight operations and rural development. And one lump sum category was removed, and that was construction management. There are three proposed transit project updates, the first being Section 5399 of capital and operation funds. This is a new fund and programming currently not in the 21-24 TIP, and is being programmed for fiscal year 2021. The second transit proposed update is the Z950 FHWA ferry boat funds. Updates to funding in 2021 and 2022 fiscal years. GDOT requests funds from previous years from FHWA and FTA all at once, which is resulting in funds being programmed in fiscal year 2021. And the third proposed transit project update is section 5311 of the capital and operation funds. GDOT provided cost estimates updated for fiscal year 2022 and 2024. The appendix that's included in the staff report has all the updated TIP project pages. The proposed updates have been presented to and endorsed by the CORMPO advisory committees. So today the MPO staff is asking the board to adopt the proposed updates to the fiscal year 2021-2024 TIP. Thank you.
Let me have a motion from a member of the board that we will now go into having the public hearing. I need a motion and a second to do so.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to make a motion to Dr. Chavez for us to go now into the hearing at this time.
If it's been properly motioned and second, I did not get the name of the person who made the second.
Pamela Bernard.
All right. Properly motioned and second that we open the public hearing. Please cast your votes and state your name.
Dr. Chavez, yes.
Sean Gillen, yes.
Tom Hutcherson, yes.
Valerie Ragland, yes.
Eric Larson, yes. Mark Denmark, yes.
Nick Palumbo, yes.
Bradley Simpson, yes.
Ron Feldner, yes.
Dan Johnson, yes.
The motion passed. We will now open the virtual public hearing for amendments to the FY 2021-2024 Transportation Improvement Plan. Please identify yourself before speaking. Make sure that you are unmuted. Are there anyone who has signed up for a public hearing? No one.
Mr. Chair, right. Make a motion that we close the hearing, public hearing at this time. Dr. Chavez.
There's a second.
Second,
Tom. All right. Public hearing has been voted. Let us vote. State your name and your vote, please. Board.
Dr. Chavez, yes.
Lee Smith, yes.
Bradley Simpson, yes.
Eric Larson, yes. Mark Denmark, yes.
Nick Palumbo, yes.
Tom Hutcherson, yes.
Dan Johnson.
Okay. The motion to approve the amendments to the FY 2021-2024 TIP. Right, we've closed the public hearing. Now we have need a motion to approve from the board. Please unmute, state your name, and state your vote.
Pamela Bernard.
Mr. Chairman,
second.
Some proper motion and second that we approve the amendments to the FY 2021-2024 TIP. And seconded by, did we get the name? All right, we have it. Okay. Board members, please state your name and your vote.
Dr.
Shabazz,
yes.
Lee Smith, yes.
Eric Larson, yes.
Tom Hutchison,
yes.
Mark Denmark, yes.
Nick Palumbo, yes.
Valerie Ragland, yes.
Pamela Bernard, yes.
Ron Feldner, yes.
The motion is approved. Moving on, is there any other business to come before the board? Hearing none, we'll move on to status report. All right, let us move on to the information report, the verbal from GDOT.
Hey, this is Katie. Do you want, I'm not familiar with how you guys usually want the reports done. So do you want me to read the whole report or give?
Julie, can you open the report? Just to click on that, yeah.
There it is. All right, it's up on the screen. Let me summarize it all.
Okay. Do you want me to do it?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Number one, we have Jimmy Deloach Parkway. We're running 75% complete there and anticipated completion date fall 21. Number two, County Road 787. Completion is at 50% in the fall 21 completion date. Number three is State Road 144. That's running at 80% with a fall 20. So I don't really know. I don't have a better date for that. So on four, State Road 144, 50% spring 21. Number five is Bryan Chatham County line. That's I-516, 75% to wrap up this spring. Number six is State Road 26, 90% wrapping up in summer. Number seven is Mildred Street. 516 State Road 421 beginning at Mildred Street, and we're still waiting on a notice to proceed there. I also have some active construction projects. Yeah. And that last one, that number seven, we're still waiting on the notice to proceed to begin that one.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Question, this is Dr. Shabazz. On the Mildred Street and I-516 project that you mentioned, is that a part of the Project DeRen overall project that you know of? Is that a segment of it?
I'm sorry.
Dr. Shabazz, please state your question again.
Okay, yes. On the list that you just read from, one of the projects is Mildred Street project at 516, I believe. And if you're not able to answer, I just need somebody to get back with me on that to let me know if that is a part of the beginning, because you state that a notice to proceed is about to move forward. I want to find out if that's tied to Project Duren project.
Oh, is the project?
Yeah, this is an active construction project. It probably is not part of the Project Duren, because Project Duren is still under environmental process. This is like resurfacing project, Mildred, on number 7.
Got it. Okay. Thank you so much.
Okay. Any other questions?
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
This is Sean Gillen, the City of Tybee. On the Bull River Bridge and the Lazaretto Creek Bridge replacement projects, the dates are 2022 and 2023. Does that, and I want to verify this again, that is anticipated beginning of construction on those dates?
Those are the right-of-way phases, not sure. Construction.
That's when they anticipate purchase of right-of-way, correct?
Yes, that's probably when the right-of-way funds will be authorized.
Okay, that I got a different answer last time, that was when construction was going to start. So just saying, I just want to make sure I'm reporting back to my council the right dates.
Uh-huh.
That's all, Mr. Chair. Thank you.
All right. Any others?
Mr. Gilliam, this is Melanie Wilson. I wanted to let you know that we can email you the information to make sure that everybody has the same dates, if that will help you with your reporting to your board.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. Chatham County project status update.
Julie, is the next attached? Yeah.
Just wait till she gets pulled up. I won't go through all of them, just to kind of go through some recent changes. I-16 at Jimmy Loach Parkway interchange, the project framework agreement was approved by the board and is being signed, I guess, hopefully soon. And also we have the consultant proposals were due in yesterday for that. Chevis Road improvements and Girard Avenue improvements, both of those have recently been programmed by GDOT, so we have a PI number so we can move forward with obtaining a consultant. Little Neck Road reconstruction project, decision on that soon. Other than that, I can just kind of let you read through those. The only thing we've got under construction right at the moment is the Quaco at 17 intersection project, which is underway and hopefully should be wrapping up fairly soon. Are there any specific questions I can answer? Otherwise, thank you.
Are there any questions? Hearing none, we are ready to move on. City of Savannah project status report.
Hi, this is Barry Stanton with the City of Savannah Traffic Engineering Department. First project is DeLesseps Avenue project bid had to be re-advertised. Bids were open. The bid results are making their way through City Hall. The TCC, or the Traffic Control Center, our preliminary layout is complete. Preparation for procurement of a design build firm is underway. Project Duren, environmental impact statement and record of decision were sent to FHWA on April 6th, final plan preparation is underway. Truman Linear Park Trail Phase 2B, environmental phase is nearing completion. GDOT has added right-of-way phase to project.
All right, are there any questions?
Yes, sir, Mr. Chair.
Yes. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Lee Smith, my question is, maybe I'm just confused, but on the traffic control center, is that the same as traffic management center? And if that's the case, I'm a little confused. This was planned to go into the new EOC building out at the airport. We've already programmed the space. Is that what you're talking about? Or if so, I'm confused.
So this is just a, because we're moving to the new city lot, so to speak. This is an existing system that's being upgraded in the new building.
Okay. So nothing's changed with, I just want to make sure, nothing's changed with the possible move in the future to the new facility at the airport?
I'm not sure. I can get back with you on that. But from my understanding, we're just moving our existing TCC operation to our new building with upgrades.
Okay. Yes, that we'll get with you on that. Thank you.
Any other questions from any board members?
Yes, sir. This is Pamela Bernard. I was just wondering, Barry, do you know how many bids were received with the new bid opening of DeLessips?
Just one.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
Any others? All right, hearing none, we're ready to move on to the CAT project status report.
Good morning, it's Bren Dice, and we have some exciting things happening here at CAT. We received our first three electric buses this month, so we are super excited. The buses are on site, the charging stations are finished, and so they are working on installing the proper software and getting everybody trained in these electric buses. We are excited. We'll see the rest of those buses arrive later this year. We also have paratransit vehicles and support vehicles that will be arriving this month and next month. So lots of new vehicles headed to our site. Our intelligent transit system is in the process. We're in the engineering phase and working through with staff and the Clever Devices folks. I'm hoping to complete that later this year. In addition, we have some facilities rehab that is happening in FY21 and into FY22. That includes CAT Central, moving around of some office space and some reorganizing of our space and a bus wash, an upgrade of our bus wash, which is should be happening soon as well. It is in process. We have some ferry boat rehabilitation happening, and that's with the Susie King Taylor boat. They're in the architecture and engineering phase to rehab that boat. And speaking of ferry boats, we have our maintenance facility and ferry dock new structures that are in the architecture and engineering phases currently. We also have bus station stops and terminals in process, and I believe that money has just been spent, so we should be upgrading a few of our stops and stations this spring as soon as those amenities come in. That's it for CAT.
Are there any questions for CAT from the board?
This is Tom Hutcherson. I'm just curious. First of all, congratulations on the purchase of the electric buses. Is that where your CAT is hitting in terms of purchasing? Will new purchases be electric buses only?
Not only electric buses, but we are certainly moving towards an electric fleet. We have some of our paratransit buses that are coming in, and we actually are ordering three diesel buses as well. They are not electric, but our board has voted to work towards an electric fleet, and so super excited to see those again. We're going to have six this year, and then we've got funding for an additional three that'll be coming down the road.
That's fantastic. Thank you.
You're welcome. We're excited.
Any other questions? All right, let us move on to permit data collection discussion. Melanie Wilson.
One of the things that we do is collect just data on a variety of things, and we need to be able to get access to building permit data from all of you. Is it possible that you can have your staffs either send us a monthly report on building activity? We use that as part of our reporting that we do to the Fed as well as the state, and we also use it when it is time for us to go after funds for certain areas when we're looking at trying to figure out where things should be located. So based on growth patterns, we have had great access with the folks in Chatham County as well as the city of Savannah, but some of the other partners we have not. So is that something that we can get with you to do so that we can have access to that information?
Mr. Chairman, if I may, Lee Smith, I know we're having a calling all managers meeting, and I will have the schools in attendance also. So I'll bring that up tomorrow.
Okay.
With all the agencies and see if we can send maybe similar formats. And
that's,
so if you could give
that's
me something,
fine. I'll get
I'd
you
be
a for,
glad to.
I'll get you a format. I just want to make sure that while we've got the elected officials as well,
sure,
on this call, that they know that we will be inquiring, and we really need to get that information, especially as new census data is coming out. It is going to be very helpful to us in case we have to do any additional work. So thanks for that.
Okay.
Any questions? All right, let us go on to the reports from each jurisdiction. Bloomingdale. All right, Effingham County.
This is Eric Larson, Assistant County Manager representing Effingham County. I have just lost my notes. Just a couple of things I wanted to mention. Effingham Parkway was in the GDOT report. It's going to be advertised for letting in May and probably awarded in July. And so we're excited about that project finally getting underway for construction. Our T-SPLOST projects, we elected to borrow against our funds, and so we have received those, and we're letting multiple contracts for design and construction on projects that were shovel ready, and using our indefinite delivery contracts that we've recently approved to award design contracts for intersection improvements and road widening projects. Our transportation master plan is still ongoing. We'll have a draft to our stakeholders in May, and those interested are still welcome to join as a stakeholder. If you'd like to see our draft plan, just email me at the county, Eric Larson, and I'll be happy to get you invited into that group as a stakeholder. We'll have virtual and in-person meetings for stakeholders to accommodate everybody's needs. That's all I have. Thank you.
Let's go on to Garden City.
Home probably needs to unmute.
Garden City is on mute.
Yeah, I think Ron's muted now.
Okay. Can
Ron,
you hear
us? You need to unmute.
Okay. Maybe if we can signal him, he needs to unmute. Then we can come back to him. Georgia Ports Authority.
We don't have anybody from Port.
Hinesville. MPO. Low Country Area MPO. I have any? Okay.
Stephanie Rossi is unable to be here, but her report was primarily that work is underway on the early stages of the 17 widening. You probably see tree removal, grading, some early phases.
Okay. Pooler?
This is Tom Hutcherson. Don't have anything new to report.
All right. Thank you. Port Wentworth? Richmond Hill. Savannah Airport Authority Commission.
Mr. Chairman, this is Mark Denmark with the Airport Commission. Briefly, I'd like to go over a few projects which we have underway and are going to be working on shortly. The first project is our parking lot expansion. We're expanding our surface lots. The $5 lot's going to be expanded. We're going to gain 290 spaces with that. We also are going to expand our overflow and oversized vehicle lot, and that's going to be paved as well, and that's going to take up 900. That's going to be 900 spaces. We opened bids on a couple of projects this month. One of them is our air cargo ramp. That's a 325,000 square foot ramp that's going to serve our new air cargo facility. Currently, we're waiting on an allocation of discretionary funding from the FAA and anticipate that construction to begin sometime in August. We also are going to begin design on the new air cargo facility with our consultant Pond, and that's going to start next month. And finally, we have a major Southeast Quadrant stormwater drainage improvement project. That's going to be begun probably next month or the month after. And that's going to allow the redevelopment of our Southeast Quadrant to more aviation-oriented facilities and services such as aircraft maintenance, general aviation expansion, and aviation support facilities. And that's all I have at this time.
All right, thank you. Thunderbolt. She's on. Okay.
This is Mayor Godey, no report.
Well, thank you. Tybee.
This is Sean Gillen from City of Tybee. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just seasonal traffic is higher than expected earlier in the season than we anticipated. We did have a fatality on Lazaretta Creek Bridge Monday night, and the bridge was closed for approximately 5 hours, which is just goes to reiterate the importance of those bridge projects and accelerating them as fast as possible. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Vernonburg. Hearing nothing. All right. Now, do we have other public comments? You're limited to 3 minutes. Is there anyone who has signed up? All right. Let us go on to the notices from the FHWA and the FTA. Mark?
Just briefly to state that we did receive the certification report, which is attached to your agenda. This is a four-year review that reflects the MPO's planning activities since March 31st of 2017 until March 31st of this current year. This is a really good result for us. There are three ways that a certification review can go, from worst to best. Potentially an MPO could be decertified, which almost never happens. You could be conditionally certified, which would mean that you were certified subject to corrective actions and certain requirements that you would have to meet on a certain timetable. And then there is a clean certification report, which is where we got, basically, we're certified without conditions for another 4 years. So we're very happy about that. It's a good result for us. And, you know, if you're out of Ambien, pick up the report and read it sometime.
All right. Thank you. New cutoff date for 2021 calendar of meetings. Ms. Wilson?
Basically, I wanted to tweak the cutoff date for the receiving information for our meetings. We've got such a big group. I want to make sure that we've got time to distribute it. And so that's all.
Okay. Our next core meeting, Wednesday, June the 23rd, 2021 at 10 a.m. And right now it's scheduled for a virtual meeting unless things change between now and then and we get more people vaccinated. Is there any other matter that's to come before the board? Once again, is there any other matter to come before the board? Three times and it's a wrap. This meeting is adjourned.